the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program, available as always on iTunes and at NFL.com/Sheck.
S-H-E-K, Sheck.
A gangbusters pair of shows last week with the world champion Seattle Seahawks, now in the rearview mirror, but I encourage you to go back and dig them up. I think you'll enjoy them quite a bit. We talked with Michael X. Bennett on last Tuesday's show, and then on Thursday, we talked with a trio of fellas, Michael Robinson, who's about as delightful as it gets. We talked with Jermaine Kearse, also a delight, who I told before the game, I said, you know, I think personally you aren't excited about Percy Harvin's return because it might affect how many snaps you get. And he went out and scored a touchdown. So we kibitzed about that a little bit. And then Bobby Wagner stuck his head in the door. And we also caught up with Jared Allen for good measure. So go back and dig those ones up. Now, though, let's look forward. We're going to be talking with one of the stronger one of the better players on one of the stronger NFC rosters. Changing, though it may be, is the word. From the Green Bay Packers, we're going to talk to Randall Cobb coming up here in just a little bit. In fact, he's joining us in Studio 66. And speaking of which, in Studio 66 right now, two of my favorites seated to my immediate right. First of all, my main man from NFL.com. It's Adam Rank. What's the poop, fella?
Hey, boss. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
He said facetiously.
I don't know what that means.
Did you not listen to yourself say that Randall Cobb's going to be sitting here face-to-face with me? The man who personally ended the Chicago Bears season.
Ah, you're right. Yeah, but listen, you've only been a Bears fan for 1 year, so I don't know how much it can
I got to work up being egreged.
Yeah, fair enough. And then also seated directly across from me, all the way from England, is our resident Miami Dolphins fan. It's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank.
Hello, Handsome. How are you?
I'm very well indeed, Dave. It's Combine Week. It's an exciting time of
yes,
year.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Randall Cobb, a guy who really made a name for himself from day one in the NFL, long after the Combine. He was projected to be, if nothing else, a great kick returner, and he was, because you'll remember.
In that very first game, he
returned a kickoff for a touchdown against the Saints, and that ended up being the margin of victory, and that propelled them to almost go undefeated in the regular season. I want to talk to him about that season.
Out of my University of Kentucky.
Why is that out of your university?
I'm a big fan.
I had no idea that you had embraced the Wildcats of Kentucky. You're like an onion. Just keep peeling you away.
Exactly.
All right. And to talk Combine and really one of the more knowledgeable guys, a guy who I've said it before, I will say it again now. I don't know when, but he will be an NFL GM at some point soon. You know him on Twitter as @MoveTheSticks. Here in Studio 66, he's our dear, dear friend. It's Daniel Jeremiah. What's the poop with you, fella?
Well, Dave, I think once you start a new habit, it's tough to break. And the last time I think I was on the podcast, it was the plane cast.
Yes.
So I was communicating while we were moving, and I just kind of wanted to keep that theme alive. So I had to get out of there, get in my car, and drive home and do this podcast while I'm in a vehicle. Because I just think the conversation just flows better when we're physically moving, not just stationary.
Well, that's why he's moved the sticks, right, as well.
I love it. You know what? Maybe I'm happy as our go-to, even when we can't be in more luxurious forms of transportation, whether it's on a boat or a plane. Maybe we should always just be in the car. We kibitz and we record it as we go. We all just go into our separate cars and have a phone conversation. That'd be fine with me. What would be, DJ, your favorite, because we have thrown it out there to the audience, the plane cast, which was now 2 or 3 weeks ago, was very well received by the listener. I encourage you to go dig that one up, too. But what would you say for our next adventure out on the roads or sea or you know, wherever else? Where would you like it to be, DJ?
Well, I think what could be the most entertaining would also be the most terrifying for me, and that would be the hot air balloon.
Oh.
I think we could all fit in there. I think the flame would probably be a little bit noisy, but it would be kind of a steady noise that we could get used to. But I think I would be kind of curled up. I would not be peaking. I wouldn't be standing tall in the hot air balloon.
Are you sold it to me. Book it, black tie.
Are you anchored in on that thing?
No, what do you mean anchored in?
Like, what happens if you just decided to jump?
Then you'd be falling.
Why would anybody do that then?
Jump.
No, why would you go into a thing? It's like it's a big air. It's like it's got flames and it's made of wicker.
It's a picnic basket carrying you.
Flammable. Flammable picnic basket on the bottom of fire.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it was particularly well thought out.
No.
And the technology hasn't been upgraded really sufficiently. All right, listen.
What about a four-man bobsled?
Oh, you know, all right. Now you've not upset me, but you've taken me away from what I wanted to talk about, namely the combine. But I've been watching, and now I got to speak out on this thing. DJ, have you watched any Winter Olympics?
I have watched less than 5 minutes. Of the Winter Olympics.
Oh, yeah, because you're busy watching all the tape, getting ready for the combine coming up in Indianapolis, NFL.com and NFL Network. Jeremiah will be kibitzing about that. You're going, aren't you, handsome?
I am, yeah.
I got left off the list. I'm stuck here. I want to be in Indy, where all the movers and shakers are going to be. I'm going to be here watching the conclusion of the Winter Olympics, though. DJ and fellas, listen, why do we live in a world where there is a four-man bobsled with these two freeloaders in the second and third chairs? You could make a case, well, they serve a purpose, except that there's a two-man bobsled, which by definition makes it obsolete. You don't need the second and third guys. They're just in there along for the ride. How say you, Jeremiah?
Well, I think you can tie it together with football, as you would say, you know, Some football players just kind of all along the ride with their team. So they all get a ring. You know, you got to have somebody's butt to keep that seat warm. That's the way that game works.
Here's the thing with it, though, even if you're the two-man bobsled, if you're not the driver, the awful bit about that is I don't know how you continue to be interested in participating if you're not the driver, because once you're in the thing, in the vessel, you have to keep your head down the whole way.
Right.
You're the only person on the face of the earth that cannot watch it. You know?
I have a theory.
You know who would love that sport but who will never fit in a bobsled is Lamar Odom. Because you just tell him, look, seriously, all I got to do is sit here. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to run up and down the court. I don't have to hustle. I don't have to play defense. I can just sit in here. Good? Okay. Yeah, I'm in.
I have a theory on number two and three. I reckon number two is going, whee, the whole way down. And number three is going, are we nearly there yet?
What kind of thing is this that we devote our eyeballs to once every 4 years, where we gather around and we watch this thing, which is, I mean, it's visually compelling watching somebody go down through the ice tunnel like that. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, once you've seen it happen once or twice, all right, you get it. It's the exact same thing. It's like when you watch a football game, play to play, it's different. But the start and fit, it looks exactly the same aside from the colors on their hats and on their unitards. And besides that, and it comes down to hundredths of a second.
But
who cares about this?
All of these have potential for massive disasters. Like all of them, ski jump, luge, all those things. Bad accidents could happen. I think that's kind of why you're watching, is for the one time that the tray that the guy's lying on to flip over, or the ski jump. I mean, everyone's waiting for the ski jump to go badly wrong. And I, you know, the spirit of the Olympics, it's supposed to be amateurs. I want to see people like just choose one person from each country. They've never done this before.
Like Eddie the Eagle.
Like Eddie the Eagle. Now go ski jumping and let's see what happens.
Yeah, because it seems like every event in the Winter Olympics, the ultimate goal is just not to die.
Yeah.
The skeleton, the luge, the bobsled,
ski jumping, anything. Do
something you're
not supposed to do.
Yeah. It's so unnatural to go do that stuff.
There's gunplay. There's gunplay in that is integral to the one event, the biathlon.
You're skiing uphill, which doesn't make any
sense.
Ski
and then shoot stuff.
Yeah. Might as well be drinking. Like, why don't we get it
all? Rank. Yes. You know, you'll be able. You'll understand this question, being as where you're from. But you know who
the hell does that mean?
You know who must hate the Winter Olympics?
Who?
Is the guy that is in charge of the slides at Raging Waters. Because you know what, those guys, only one at a time. You cannot go down with two or three of your friends at once. But with this kind of inspiration the Olympics provide, you're going to take that chance. If you get booted, you get booted.
Yeah, at the end of the day, at 6 o'clock when the last couple of rides at Raging Waters are going, yeah, we went four-man bobsled down that thing, absolutely.
All right, let's talk a little bit of football in the little bit of time we have remaining. First of all, I was struck by, on the aforementioned playing cast, you floated what I thought was a pretty bold thought, and that's that the Cleveland Browns are well-positioned to win double digits. Explain yourself, DJ.
Yeah, I mean, people, you know, we kind of put that out there a little bit. People on Twitter said, oh, you know, the Browns have lost, you know, for 100 years. You know, come on, give me a break. But look at the All Pro and Pro Bowl rosters where they have stud players that keep positions. Now they got a couple guys that are free agents they need to lock up, Alex Mack, TJ Ward, two big time guys, but they have plenty of salary cap space. You've got a premier player at left tackle, you've got Josh Gordon, a premier receiver, you've got a Pro Bowl tight end. They can solve the running back position in the middle round of this draft if they wanted to, and they'll be fine there. On the defensive side of the ball, Phil Taylor is one of the best defensive tackles in the NFL. Jabal Sheard's a good-looking edge rusher. We'll see what they have with Mingo going forward. But you got Joe Hayden, a premier corner. If they re-sign TJ Ward, a top safety. I mean, they have got a lot of talent if they can just get steady QB play. They don't have to have a superstar. Even if Brian Hoyer could just stay healthy. I think this team's a team very capable of winning 9 or 10 games with everything else they have around them. Two first-round picks this year, a lot of money to spend in free agency. If they get this offseason right, I don't think it's outlandish to see this team as a 10-win team next year.
Right, in 2014. And, you know, that begs the question for me, like you were talking about with the quarterbacks. You know, as it's easy to predict if you've watched football for more than 4 years or so, if you followed it over the decades, it is true that there's an ebb and flow. And while the offenses can't be stopped, oh, well, now here comes the defense. So given the fact that, I mean, you know, Russell Wilson is a good quarterback, but he didn't achieve the weird classification of being elite. And instead they win that game they win the Super Bowl, I think, by, you know, being able to grind you on the ground and dominate on defense. So is there a chance that maybe philosophically the teams in the league are now going to go in that direction and try and be dominant defensively? Or do you expect that all the noise, when it all comes down to it, it's going to be for the Browns? It's going to be Bridgewater or Johnny Football?
Yeah, I think that's probably what it's going to be. Just because they've been searching for this quarterback for so long, you know, maybe they could, you know, strike gold like the Seahawks did with Russell Wilson in the third round, but the odds are more likely you're going to hit on taking a player in the first round. Just is what it is. So I still think they have two ones. One of them will be dedicated to a quarterback, and I'm guessing it'll probably be that first one.
Well, do you guys, you certainly must. You were with the Browns and the Ravens and the Eagles. Is there in-house, are there numbers that indicate that you swing and miss more on one position than another one? Because it seems to me that the old, you know, in the 70s growing up in Pittsburgh, it was always, hey, that's what the Steelers do, is they take best player available, regardless of need or anything else. It almost feels to me like depth is everything now, more than elite quarterback or anything else. It's about how deep your team is. Again, the Niners and Seahawks were the two best teams because they were the deepest teams. So does it matter if Sammy Watkins is there versus a coin flip of a guy, like, you don't know what Johnny Football is going to be, or Anthony Barr, who seems like everybody's really hip on, or Khalil Mack, a guy who's definitely going to be a great NFL player. Obviously you just answered the question, but isn't there merit in taking the best player available rather than trying to land this elite quarterback, which we now understand isn't a requirement to win the Super Bowl?
Well, I would just use a different word and say they don't need, you know, Bridgewater or Mandel or Bortles to be elite for them to be a good football team. They need a solid, steady, functional player. And I feel like they think they'd have a better shot of landing that steady, functional player with that first-round pick as opposed to waiting. So I think it's kind of twofold. I think, yeah, you can make a case you could pick a different position, but I also think, especially with the salary being dropped down, you don't have to hit a home run with that quarterback in the first round. You just need to get a good, solid, steady player that can use the talent around him, and you can win a Super Bowl. You don't have to be, you know, the prototype anymore to win a Super Bowl. We've seen that the last few years. You just need a guy that can be steady, and that's what I would guess they'll fall in love with one of these three quarterbacks. And I think Ray Farmer, he came out the other day and said he already knew which one he would take if the draft were tomorrow. So it sounds like they've whether or not it's been worthy of their love, they are in love with somebody.
Well, he came out and said that he liked Mariota out of Oregon more than any of these guys and wasn't a big Johnny Manziel fan. Does that lead me to believe that he loves Johnny Manziel and he's just trying to put a smokescreen out there?
Yeah, I mean, look, this is definitely liar season, and the fact that the draft got pushed back now I think you're going to get to see it. Like, you're going to have to sprinkle in the truth somewhere. You're going to have to sprinkle it in just so they don't say, okay, well, this is the one thing they haven't said, so obviously that's what they're going to do. So the lying is going to go to a whole new level. There's got to be a laid out plan here. You know, the two lies and the truth, is it three lies and a truth? When do you have to sneak that truth in there somewhere? Well,
do they have that in a code, like somewhere on a wall?
Yeah, exactly, right? You slap that thing on the way out of the dressing room in the front office, yeah.
It is one of those things everybody talks about. Well, you know, you can never believe what a GM and what personnel guys say. Did anybody say that to you when you were at the Eagles? Did Andy Reid ever pull you aside and say, listen, here's how we do things. We lie, and here's how we structure our lies. When you talk to the media, here's how you sell them on our phony agenda. Does that happen?
I won't tell you. I worked for three teams. I won't tell you where this came from. We did have a meeting one time where something had got out. It was a player that we liked, and it was published somewhere, and it could have just been somebody guessing, getting it right. But for some reason, that was a player that we really liked, and it got out there that the Ravens. Wait, did I just say the Ravens? I just pulled it out.
We'll erase that. We'll fix
that.
Now you know.
Okay, so I'm with the Ravens. Oh, what the heck? It's been a long time. So we had a meeting. I was like, look, don't go. Nobody talks to the media. We keep everything in house here. We let the media know what they need to know, whether or not that's accurate or not. That's our decision. So it's kind of like it was them saying without saying it, okay, if we want to take them down, take the media out to a pasture, we know how to do that.
What a funny thing, and because I've talked to a couple guys with the Browns, people who would know what the Browns brain trust is thinking, and they've said, oh, yeah, they just don't like Teddy Bridgewater. They're just not fans. But you say that you think that is the QB that they most desire. Do you think they want him more than Johnny Football?
I don't know. That's just my guess. But that's when I look at guys that could come in right now and kind of fit in with what they have, I can make a pretty strong case that Bridgewater is, you know, the most ready guy to step in and play right away with a team that's got a pretty good young nucleus that I think is ready to win. So Manziel's my top-rated quarterback. I really like Johnny Manziel. Is that an ideal fit for him in Cleveland in that division and, you know, all those outdoor games, cold weather games, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cincinnati? Probably not the best fit for him, whereas Bridgewater, I think, might fit him a little bit better.
But the problem is, when they said that they didn't like Bridgewater, that was the old regime as well. So they're playing the double smokescreen because they're saying the wrong thing, and then they fire all the people that were saying it anyway. So now we really don't know what they're thinking.
I'll tell you this. Anybody that left through this little recent herd that they had in Cleveland, you can bet that everybody picking, you know, Oakland picking five, Atlanta picking right around there, all these teams, Tampa, you can guarantee that, you know, Michael Lombardi, if he's, you know, in New England, wherever he is, whatever he's doing, you can bet that those teams are getting in touch with him. All right, who did Ray Farmer really like? What do you think he's going to do here?
Ah, that's interesting. So and I guess he would have no incentive not to share that information, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he truly knows, but he has worked with him for the last year. You would think at some point in time, you know, you'd go for a jog or grab a meal in the cafeteria, you'd kind of figure out which guy he was leaning towards.
All right, last thing, DJ.
Whoa,
this happens.
DJ said he has to take his son to football practice today, guys.
All right,
he's
black
go.
Tie. When he goes,
you know what? Black tie. Give him. I still have two more minutes before I get to my house, so I'm running a little.
Traffic. What are you, the police? What are you? What are you? 5-0 black tie.
To win Father of the Year. Obviously, I wasn't good enough to win Shecky's Sidekick of the Year, whatever that crap that you gave to Henry. But I do want to win Father of the Year, and TD's looking out for me.
I got more bad news for you. Handsome Hank came up with the idea for the plane cast, so he's already in the lead for 2014, too.
You got to bring something to the table, DJ.
Don't worry. There's a lot of time left.
DJ's a big shot. He was on Eisen's podcast earlier today.
Of course he was.
What?
Hey, I pulled the triple today, boys. I did the college football podcast, the Eisen podcast, and the Dan Patrick podcast.
Oh, wow. I don't know even what to think. And don't you say wow either, Handsome Hank, because I've heard tale that you paid a visit to the Around the League podcast.
They're great guys.
Well, I mean, yeah, there are a lot of great guys.
I'll tell you this. I sat in there today. I had to do some other stuff in the podcast. We had to do some voiceovers for some highlight deals for NFL.com. And I walked in there, and the Around the League boys were in there doing their thing. I've never seen, I've been faithful. I have not even listened to one of their podcasts
Good.
Before.
Yes.
Saw them in there doing their podcast, and they were playing a game and giving away a toaster.
Which all this buzz about the Around the League podcast, I mean, are they just bribing? Are they just bribing your listeners with free kitchen appliances? I mean, what are we doing?
What are they supposed to do, lean on their charisma? They don't have any. They have to bribe people.
After we had a contest to give away Hank's sweatshirt at the Super Bowl, all of a sudden we're giving away a toaster.
And you know what? We're not stopping there, DJ. We're going to give away. We have some signed photographs of some luminaries from the world of pigskin. Marcus Allen, we have his autographed headshot. Maurice Jones-Drew's, and then also Blake Bortles. Which, in order, in 5 years from now, rank those in order of value? Daniel Jeremiah, Marcus Allen, Blake
Bortles. Marcus Allen will be one.
Right.
Maurice Jones-Drew will still be two, and Bortles will be three.
Oh, so you're saying Bortles is a mediocre player then?
I'm saying Bortles will be a good NFL quarterback, but he's not going to be an elite player up there at the top where you'd be jonesing for that autograph. Whereas Maurice Jones-Drew, you're already in Southern California. There's some UCLA fan you're going to be able to get a big chunk of money for. And you've got Marcus Allen, who also happens to be local and a Hall of Famer. He's a no-doubter.
Listen, the Czech Republic knows no borders, DJ. Open your brain, man. Open your mind. We know we travel to all corners of the big blue marble. Now, my question is this. Every year, this happens. Some guy, there was buzz about Ziggy Ansah for about 6 months to a year, let's say, before the combine. By the time that thing was over, though, he'd shot all the way up. Oh, he's definitely a top 10. How high up is he going to go? Tavon Austin sort of was that. Who's that guy this year?
I'm going to say a couple guys that will get some momentum coming out of this thing. Brandon Cooks, a wide receiver from Oregon State. He's a really good player. I have him kind of as a late first-round pick. I think he's going to run really fast, and you'll start to hear more about him. But I'll give you one kind of out of left field. Terrence West is a running back out of Townsend, and a small school guy, but he is really, really good. And I think if he runs low 4.5, he's going to put up good numbers on the bench. He's going to be 220-plus pounds. I think that'll be a name people don't necessarily know coming into the combine, but they'll be aware of who's coming out of it.
Is there anyone who, well, first of all, I guess the opposite of that, then answer that side of it. Who's going to drop based on their woeful performance?
Woeful performance. But I've been told by a couple people that one of my favorite players is not going to run that fast. That's Jarvis Landry from LSU. I love him as a player. Receiver, he's tough. He reminds me of Anquan Boldin. I saw Mayock today, compared him to Hines Ward. I mean, those are two pretty good guys to be compared to. But I was told he's probably going to run high 4.6, so that'll probably bother some people. Maybe that'll allow him to drop a little bit, but just a really, really good player.
If Clowney does do anything close to what he's predicted, namely running a 4.4, will that solidify him? Will that be like, well, of course now. That's the only pick that the Texans can possibly make.
It'll make it really tough on them. I mean, the 40 is not the be-all, end-all, event for a defensive end. But
what is? Yeah, I always wonder about that. I use my eyeballs, and it's hard to extrapolate a guy who's playing, mid-level Division I. But if a guy's dominant at LSU or he's dominant in the Big Ten, I think you can make a pretty decent case. Yeah, he's going to translate in the NFL. Why is the combine? Do you, as a guy who now with three NFL teams and then also has the ability to apply his eyeballs and just judge him based with that, do you care what is the combine more important, or is watching what he did in college more important?
All right, rank. Help me out here. I mean, this is TD gives him the 2-minute warning. We get the 2-minute warning, and it's buzzing down last 30 seconds, and I get the where do babies come from Dan.
What's Rank going to do? What do you think he's – I'll take all – I want you first, Jeremiah. We'll throw down and then Rank. All right,
well,
fine.
The combine, look, you need to get accurate height, weights, and speeds on these guys. It is important. But these juniors have never been officially heighted or weighted. You need to find out.
Why is that, though? Why don't the colleges just be required to do that? Why can't they do it?
They do it with the seniors. So the kids coming through, the scouts go through there in the spring, and they get official numbers on the soon-to-be senior class. They don't do it with underclassmen. Part of the reason being that the colleges are, trying to keep those kids in school for another year. They don't want guys to come out early. You don't get all that information. So that's why you get that at the combine. But everything's going to be focused on the testing. And that's because that's the raw data we can look at. Probably you know, as important, if not more important, is what you're going to see in the on-field workout. Like for linebackers, watching these guys trying to run around, cover, open their hips, do different things that you might not see a lot of on tape. You know, is it an undersized defensive end? You're going to convert to linebacker, see him go through those drills. Watching receivers up close have to run a lot of different routes instead of just bubble screen right and left, which we see with so many of these colleges. So there's a lot of useful stuff you get out of the combine aside from just, you know, watching a guy run in a straight line and get a time.
All right, so your answer is you like the combine more than tape.
Come on.
If you had to choose, I said you could only do one or the other. You can't see his combine stuff, or you can't see what he did in college.
Oh, no, watch the tape.
DJ, save yourself. Just go.
Oh, black guy. You're the creep of all creeps.
You can always drop the call.
All right.
Well, I got to tell you this. True story. So my flag football team here for my son, he's 10, and coach is a super guy. He actually works for, like, the DEA. So just, you know, okay,
wow. Kind of
hardcore. So after, I'm just a parent. I'm not going to get involved. You know, like, hey, I just want my son to have fun. It's way too many people take all these youth sports so seriously. I'm just going to sit off the side and watch. So after the first practice that I go to, I come over to the coach afterwards, and I give him the money for the uniform, right, to get the uniform, Friday Night Lights, flag football. And he goes, oh, thanks. I follow you on Twitter.
Oh, nice.
I swear to you. So I have, you know, look, my celebrity goes very small, but with the youth football coaches in the Inland Empire, we have a strong following, and I think it's all devoted to the Damashek podcast. I'm guessing he probably was introduced to me via the plane cast, and it's just waiting on day of rest for the hot air balloon cast soon to come.
All right, go coach.
What team
flag
is it,
football?
By the way? We are
the Virginia Tech Hokies.
Yeah, I love that they do that with the youth teams now. Like, all the Little League baseball teams do college baseball.
Wow.
And all the Friday Night Lights teams do college football.
I guess that's cool, except, well, first of all, Virginia Tech has the ugliest color scheme in all of
America. It's not great. And the coach was actually trying to decide between gray. We have the maroon jersey, gray, or white pants. Do you have a vote on that, Dave?
Yeah, I do. I like the, first of all, I like the shoulder striping, the ones that go on the shoulder, not around the arms, if you know what I'm talking about.
That
looks good. I go with the white pants because they're the least offensive of the options, but you're hamstrung by the university's founding fathers who thought it a good idea to go maroon and orange.
Well, the other thing that's tough for me is here we're Virginia Tech, my son's playing quarterback, and they gave him number 5 instead of number 7. So
oh,
like,
no.
He's going to be Marcus Vick instead of Michael Vick. Maybe this is a bad time.
That's not good at all. Why would they stick him with 5? well, see, that's where a good parenting hand will come in here and have to overcome the scourge of Marcus Vick. All right, listen, Daniel Jeremiah, go have a great time in Indianapolis, and then we'll kibitz with you upon your return.
Sounds good, Dave.
I'm looking at Twitter right now, and it also says right here, it says, like, hey, Rich and I had on Move the Sticks on their podcast today. How, you know
that's
what?
That's,
I'm going to have to, you know what, Rank, you and I.
That's a compliment, Dave. That's a compliment to you and the development that you've had and where I am right now.
Don't patronize me.
You've established me.
Don't you patronize me, Jeremiah. Cut him off, I said, Black Tie. Rank, you and I are going to have a very serious conversation about this Jeremiah and about this handsome Hank and all this running around going on behind our backs.
You're either with us or you're against us. You make the call right now.
All right, I'm out.
Yes!
I'm going to take off.
If it worked.
I'm sure if you guys, you know, if Dave doesn't want me anymore, I'm sure there's more than a toaster or a microwave waiting for me with the other one.
Don't you threaten me! You don't threaten me! Don't you know who I am?
Hey, DJ, why don't we do a plane cast on the way back from Indy together?
You know what?
We could just set up by ourselves.
Nice. I see you working, Henry.
I don't even know what anymore. My head spins. All right, goodbye, Jeremiah.
You guys,
and
bye.
I don't like him sitting on the line when I'm disparaging him, Black Tie. I want you to cut him off. You don't leave him there to hear my words. I'm not a man. I don't want real men hearing what I say so that they can use it against me and then punch me in the jaw the next time they see me. I don't need that. Don't you understand? I'm passive aggressive. I don't do that face to face with people.
Dave, you do know this is a podcast and he can listen to it at any time.
I suppose he could.
Yeah.
And you know what? You're another one. Why don't the two of you go off?
That's what I just suggested.
I know you did. Now listen. Handsome Hank. Oh, yeah. Before I ask you about True Detective, What about how fellas should we give away the aforementioned headshots there? Marcus Allen, Maurice Jones-Drew, Blake Bortles, signed, by the way. What do you do? I mean,
before we get to this, did we actually get rid of my hoodie?
Oh, yes.
No one told me that. As far as I know, it's in Adam Rank's wardrobe.
No, indeed. Tell the tale, Rank.
A young man named Will McDonough approached me. It wasn't on Super Bowl Boulevard, so I almost disqualified him on a technicality, but he saw me in the Radio Row, the media center.
He's a member of the media.
He's not a member of the media. He's a high school student who got a guest pass. Just to come in, and he wanted to see Dave and see everybody who was participating in all the. Well, no, it was he's learning. He wants to
day
join us as colleagues. Okay. What about you? You're upset that I'm giving you the and the rest?
Yeah,
Gilligan's Isle spiel.
But I didn't see him.
Well, I'm sorry you missed him.
I wanted to meet the young man that has my. I'm thrilled for him.
He was.
This isn't hostility towards him.
I'm sure he's a big around the league podcast fan. Why don't you go?
He was kind of forlorn because he figured it was gone. It was long gone. I'm like, nope, it's right here in my bag. Boom, there you go.
I glad-handed with him and his brothers. They were
fellas. They came by.
I saw
them all.
Hey, so we got to give those now we got to give away these autographs. And I said, you know, I like doing it. Here's Czech Republic, the Rank Amateurs, the Black Sheep, which is Black Ties Fan Club. And Handsome Hank, what did we decide for you again?
Well, I like the Hank Amateurs, but that was thrown out. The Handsome Devils, I think.
The Handsome Devils is a good name. Yeah, the Handsome Devils. I think we get good questions from a group of all those people put together. Mm-hmm. When we solicit good Twitter questions for us to ruminate on, you usually come through. So do we do it that way, Black Tie? Just the best Twitter questions for us to answer with a hashtag what? DDFP?
Hashtag DDFP. Send them in, and we'll take a look at them all throughout the week. Best questions.
You don't like that, Rank?
Well, my first idea would be that if you come to the Brea Improv on February 26th, where I will incidentally be performing, I will have all three there, and you just come up and say I'm a fan of the DDFP. I guess, I mean, that's one way to
go. We could
get one. Brea Improv.
At the Brea Improv on February 26th, 8 p.m., but you have to get the free tickets
first.
How
would you get tickets?
By approaching me on Twitter and saying, hey, I'll be at your show.
All right, I'm down for that.
That's just one suggestion.
No, I'm down for one of those, not all three. We're not giving all three.
The Blake Bortles one.
Well, that's the next question. Which is the best, which is the one that is...
No one wants Blake Bortles.
You think so?
Yeah, right now, no, of those three,
listen,
no one wants the Blake Bortles one.
Blake Bortles right now is expected to be a better NFL player than Russell Wilson was at this exact same moment two years ago. So if Blake Bortles is a Super Bowl champion 3 years from now,
is he a Hall of Famer?
Is he, though?
No.
I don't know. What do you mean?
He's not a Hall of Famer now. Marcus Allen's a Hall of Famer.
Who would you rather have? Would you rather have Russell Wilson right now or Maurice Jones-Drew?
Because in two or three years,
Blake Bortles wins a Super Bowl, then you're gonna be upset that you didn't take him.
Christian Ponder was drafted in the top 10 not too long ago either.
Would you rather have Christian Ponder
or would you rather have MJD?
Well, that's the debate. It depends. Is your glass half full or glass half empty when it comes to and is it filled with Bortles and James? I'm trying to complete. That was pretty close.
That's me selling that.
There's something about your glass half empty or full, and his name is Bortles and Bartles and James. Maybe it's a reach. I don't know if the kids remember Bartles and James wine coolers. They were all the rage in the late 80s. I know that much. Black Tie, have you ever had Bartles and James wine coolers?
I have not, but I'll tell you what I do have.
What?
I got a shout-out, guys.
Oh!
A shout-out.
We haven't heard one in forever. Well, you're going to have to bite your tongue, Black Tie. We want to hear the shout-out, but here he comes, coming through the door now, our main guest today. It's Randall Cobb.
Do-do-do-da-da-da-down-ba-da-down-ba-da-boom-bam-bam-dave.
All right, coming into Studio 66 right now, one of the guys who gets to play with A.J. Hawk, one of our very favorite guys in all the NFL, and the guy that I anointed some 3 years ago, the best QB, not just now, but the guy who will go down as the greatest quarterback of all time. Let's talk about all of it with number 18 of the Green Bay Packers. Randall Cobb, what's the poop, fella?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Well, I'm doing well. And first, may I say, we like to review the fashions of people who come into Studio 66. Don't uh-oh, because I got nothing but praise.
Well, good,
what is that,
good.
A tuxedo? Jackie,
look, man, I came out here to California with sweats and T-shirts and shorts, and they told me I needed to dress up, and I didn't have anything, so I had to go buy something real quick.
It's very smart. I'm not wrong, though. It is a tuxedo jacket you're wearing.
I think it is a tuxedo.
That's just the way it looks. He's got the invisible tie going, too, which is a nice look.
Tie. I wore it with jeans to kind of dress it down a little bit.
Nice pockets.
You can't see the socks as well. Those socks are incredible.
Yeah, I got some colorful
socks. That's how he says the word socks. If
socks.
It confuses
I'm sorry.
You.
Those socks are incredible.
Yeah.
And Randall Cobb, may I also say, I don't mind telling you, you happen to have your eyes are hypnotic.
Yeah.
What color
don't
are
look too long into them.
What, is that right? Is that what happens? Something bad's going to happen?
No, I don't know about that.
You know what? I've told other people this, and I'm going to tell it to you now, Randall Cobb. Do you know what happens? You know how when men look into the eyes of Medusa, they turn into stone?
Yeah.
When women look into Damashek's eyes, they turn into mush. Is that the same effect with you?
For the most part. That's what I always tell the ladies, too. Don't look too long. You'll fall in love. And you know that whole sap story. We don't need to get into that right now.
Hey, like I say, we love talking to AJ Hawk. And right after the Week 17 game in Soldier Field, you make that play, and we were talking about the drive and what was going on from
him. I think
we've
covered this at great length.
I'm sorry, this is a Bears guy. You're sitting across a Bears fan.
I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. You did what you had to do.
I know, but I feel bad for him. I mean, just to go into Soldier Field like that and break their heart, it's just tough.
Talk about, though, because so he's telling us, AJ Hawk is, what it was like for a defender to be standing on the sideline, the season hanging in the balance, watching this, you guys converting fourth down after fourth down and keeping this drive alive.
Yep.
But he said the only moment that he ever really had any fear was when Rodgers put that ball in the air, because he said it was up there for 2 months. You on the receiving end of that, and of course, if anybody forgets, Cobb, of course, catches the division-winning touchdown
pass. No, we didn't forget. Thank you.
I wonder if maybe people are out of football brain now and they're in deluge or bobsledding or whatever other hokum.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that in a minute, Randall. But in the meantime, what's going on in your head during the drive? And then most importantly, when Rodgers throws that ball and there's nobody within 15 yards of you, does it flash through your brain? Don't you dare drop this
ball. You drop this ball and you will never play again. No, in that play, in that moment, it did seem like that ball was up there forever. Like just hanging up there, just like in the movie The Little Giants, the toilet paper that's flying in the air. It was like this slow motion, like it was never going to make it there. But, you know, I was able to make the catch. But you go back to the beginning of that drive, that first set of downs. I was on the sideline the first three plays, and then we were in that moment, were we going to punt it? Were we going to go for it? Aaron was yelling at Coach McCarthy. Coach McCarthy is looking like, what do I do? So we're going back right there. Then they call a play where I have to go out on the field. I drop the big coat. I go out there, and we barely get the playoff, and we pick up that first fourth down, and just going through that drive, it was like it was our moment right there just to make something happen.
But, I mean, really, don't jive me. I want the truth. Did it go through your head, even for a split second? Come on, just do like you did the first time you ever caught a ball. Two hands.
Did you really do that?
Two hands and focus on what you have to do.
I went back and looked at the picture. I always make fun of people who body catch. I'm always one, catch with your hands, use your hands, catch the ball. And I look back at that picture, and I'm like that. I got my arms crossed, making sure I secured that catch. And, you know, it's one of those things where you have to really focus and lock in, because those are usually the hardest ones when you're out by yourself.
And your feet are going in. And that's another big one, too. Like, don't trip.
Yeah.
Whatever you do.
Right.
That's always my fear. It's like, I would know. I mean, you understand. You would know you're going to catch it. It's the trip. It's the field. It's not a great field out there. It's frozen over and everything.
Yeah, it's not one of the best. No,
who is Randall Cobb? You've been around for a little while now. And the obvious answer for you to throw out here is Aaron Rodgers. Well, who's the best QB you've ever seen?
I think hands down, Aaron.
I mean, you're his teammate. It'll get back to him if you say somebody else. But tell me why you think so.
I would tell you that if I didn't play for him, if I wasn't on his team. Just what he brings to the game. You know, he's a pocket passer that has the ability to scramble, the ability to long gate plays and extend plays and be able to find receivers downfield that you didn't even know he could see. You know, it's just moments that he's able to catch that flash and be able to get the ball to the person.
Does anybody – the thing to me that stands out more than anybody else, Kaepernick has a huge arm, obviously. Flacco does. Cutler does. But to me, it's the way Rodgers pulls the trigger. It happens in the blink of an eye.
It does.
And it looks to me like – and I've talked to a number of DBs about this – it just seems like the ball gets on the receiver much faster than the secondary thing. They're surprised by it. Like, whoa, that I thought I had that ball and it was by me.
I had trouble with Justin. When I came in my rookie year coming from college, I had never seen a ball come at me the way that his was coming at me. So it was definitely adjustment for me catching balls from him.
Wait, Jared Lorenzen wasn't your quarterback, was he?
No, I was in like middle school when he played.
I'm getting confused.
Yeah, my quarterback at Kentucky was Mike Hartline, Brian Hartline's little brother.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so, and Tim Couch was 8 years before
you.
Yeah.
Way, right? That was way that's when I knew Winston. There was no chance. You might not have even not heard even of close. Tim Couch. You're like, what? His picture was on the wall
Tim's
somewhere.
Tim's actually one of my good buddies, yeah. Okay. Yeah, still, yeah.
So we talked to Hawk about this. What do you guys say to – I mean, that offense is so prolific. And I'm fascinated by the thing that you guys will say to the media. Hey, we win as a team, lose as a team. Mm-hmm. But when one team is so dominant on one side and not on the other, is there any friction with you and Hawk or you and anybody on that
Absolutely
defense? Like,
not.
Listen, we're scoring 40 a game. Can you guys help us out here?
That's our job, is to put up points. You know, regardless of how our defense is playing, if they're getting a shutout, we still want to put up 40, 50 points. That's just our mindset, is to put up points. So when we go into a game, we're looking at every single drive as an opportunity for us to put points on the board. And when we don't put points on the board, we're not fulfilling our duty as offense.
I'm always fascinated by the choice of someone like you. You seem like a casual fella, a fun guy. How come Randall instead of Randy?
I actually have an older sister named Randy.
It makes sense.
Yeah, so I have an older sister named Randy. That's a half sister, just my dad's daughter. So I got an older sister named Randy. Whenever I got to the Packers, Aaron started calling me Randy, and I was, like, too afraid to tell him, like, you can't call me that.
Oh, that'll make it worse.
Yeah. So I never did say anything, and now it's a couple guys on the team to call me Randy, but that's not too many.
Who is the most beloved, would you say? I don't know, most famous or – yeah, let's go with beloved. Who's the most beloved Packer? Because, you know, Brett Favre did a nasty deed. Mm-hmm. At least in the hearts of some Packers fans, who's the biggest?
I think Reggie White, big dog.
Really?
Reggie
White.
Yeah, I think he's one of the most beloved players in the Packers organization. But I mean, you got so many: Bart Starr, Brett Favre, Aaron, Clay. You look at all the players over the year that's been able to have such an impact on that community and also on the team. There's a lot of guys that have that love. Donald Driver, I mean, he's definitely one of them.
Wow, I'm surprised, though, that you say – I mean, Reggie White did sort of change the way free agency was regarded. Mm-hmm. He made the Packers relevant again after they had been down for so long. Huh, interesting.
I think it's the way he carried himself as a man, not more so off the field. And, you know, I think more people gravitated to him in that aspect.
So now we're hearing all this buzz, and I'm sure you don't know that much more. And if you do, please, by all means, share it with us in Studio 66. But there's buzz about Raji maybe going, maybe, mm-hmm. you know, who knows what's going to be. Some big name fellas, at least, with the Packers. What do you think about the notion of sort of turning over the roster at this point, and specifically at your position? There's a chance that Greg Jennings moves on a year ago. Maybe, you know, maybe one or two of those receivers moves on as well. Where's your head with all this?
You know, me as a player, I understand that's not even – I'm not even qualified to make those decisions. My check doesn't cover that whole you know, as far as the players that we keep around or we get rid of. You know, as a friend to those players, you know, I would love to have them back and be a part of the program and the organization. But that's above my pay grade to make any decisions on that.
Do you follow this stuff as a fan? Like, for instance, if you guys traded for Patrick Peterson, like, would you go nuts?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I would love to play with Patrick Peterson. I think he's definitely one of the top corners in the game. I would love to go against him in practice every day and better myself.
That's an interesting point, Ryan, because I think that's what I've deduced over the last
couple
years.
I got a question for Randall. Sorry to interject.
Well, I'm in the middle of speaking.
I got a question here, and I just got to find out. He was talking about Patrick Peterson, as you guys know, is my homeboy from the draft. You know?
Is he?
Yeah, but, you know, me and Patrick go way back. I got a question.
Patrick Peterson has a lot of talk. Idea who he is.
Of course he does. We met up on Honors, caught up, whatever. There's a lot of talk recently about the Mount Rushmore of NBA greats. Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you, you play against all the cornerbacks in today's league. Give us your Mount Rushmore of the current cornerbacks
in the
NFL.
Hold on. Okay, I like that question, the ballpark of it, but I don't like the Mount Rushmore. I'm tired of everybody talking about the Mount Rushmore. Let's think of a better four. What could we do? We could do Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four?
Yeah.
I'm a
Fantastic
DC guy. Four.
Connect Four.
Connect Four corners.
Connect four corners. The four golden pieces.
I haven't played against everybody. Like I still haven't went up against Revis. I haven't played against Revis to know. I mean, I've studied him on film and watching him on film. He's definitely, you know, he's definitely a lockdown guy. Joe Hayden, I think, is one of the guys up there. Richard Sherman, Patrick Peterson. I think those would be my top four that's out right now.
That's an interesting list. I'm also curious about this. Fans, I think. Casual fans will think, oh, I'm going up against the Buccaneers this weekend. Mm-hmm. Oh, so you're going to be locked up with Darrelle Revis. Realistically, though,
no.
How often if you're going against the Packers, how many snaps would you say, what percentage of snaps are you locked up by one guy?
Not too often. You know, it depends on the defensive schemes. A lot of the schemes are zone teams. A lot of teams are zone teams that play a lot more zone than man. And then when it is man, you may see it, you know, maybe 30% of the game, maybe 40% of the game. And I'm not going to be locked up with the same corner every time. Obviously, we like to move around our positions and move around our receivers and put them in different matchups. So I won't be locked up on the same guy the whole game most of the time.
Has Richard Sherman ever said anything to you on the field? Because I don't know if you heard, he got a little bit of notoriety talking on the field.
Just a little bit, I think, right? Just a little bit. Actually, when we played the Seahawks a couple years ago, I was coming off an injury. I think I played 10 plays. So the Fail Mary game.
Yeah,
the Fail Mary game. I had just came off an injury the week before, so I wasn't really in the game plan too much. I think I had 10, 15 snaps, so I really didn't go up against him either. I play mostly inside. He's most of the time outside. I don't think he ever comes inside, and I hardly go outside. That's something that I'm working towards in the future, is getting to more of a dual receiver.
What did you think of the Seahawks run? And I know, of course, there's the swagger that goes with being a professional athlete, and beyond that, I'm sure in the locker room there was a lot of buzz. Hey, Rodgers is back. But I do buy – I don't think it's coincidence that the two teams that everybody said in January, well, these are the two best teams in the NFL, were the Seahawks and 49ers, mm-hmm. and that was because they got right at the right time. They got healthy at the right time. But you guys were also – if you had one or two more regular season games, I feel like for everybody to be together, and Clay doesn't have the trouble with the hand and all this, uh-huh. I feel like you guys were ready to make a deep run there. Was there a – do you feel like, man, we left a little meat on the bone between – the 15-1 season and now this, wow, our window, we could have jumped through and gotten one more Lombardi.
Yeah, yeah, I think we definitely could have. You know, the way our season went with the injuries, and for us to still be able to be in the playoffs at 8-7-1 and have an opportunity, I think that speaks for itself. But obviously we didn't make enough plays. And the moment where everything counted the most against the 49ers at home, we didn't make enough plays to win that game. They did make enough plays, and they did what they had to do to win, and they got the win.
Oh, man, it would have been better if it had gone to overtime. That's all.
It would have.
I was rooting for you.
I was hoping they missed that field goal.
Oh, I mean, for you guys to play in Seattle, that would have been something. I'd love
it. Because
you'd
nice.
Have that gunslinger's chance. Yeah. You and Rodgers out there. Yeah. Out there. Maybe for one game you could take them down. All right, you run. You're going to be on Fancy TV, Randall Cobb. It's a pleasure to meet you. Real quick, do you know what a Packer is?
Meat packer.
That's correct.
Oh, yeah. Acme Meat Packers.
Who would win in a fight, a meat packer or a steel worker? Because that's the level I have. The Steelers and Packers, I think that would be if there was a
you know, how you'd seed them.
Yeah, if you seeded them in a big tournament of NFL mascots, I think the Steeler and Packer would go head-to-head.
Definitely.
Who wins that fight?
I think definitely the Packers.
I think that's wrong.
Yeah.
Because the
no,
Steeler would have a hard... Yeah, so what? The Steeler has a hard hat on.
All you gotta do is knock it off.
Well... good luck. You can't knock it off. You can't catch him. And he's used to running away from fire all day around that molten steel and everything.
No,
you know?
They walk around there. They walk around there.
All right. Still we'll settle this at a later date. But in the meantime.
Wait,
right.
Wait. We got more time. We need a couple more minutes. Come on. Why are you trying to keep it to
'cause you're throwing
45?
Your arms around back there like it's time
I
to wrap it
I just got word. We got a couple more minutes. So.
Oh, all right. All right. How does Randall Cobb spend the offseason? I'd like to know the man, not just the football player. What are you going to do with yourself?
Well, for the most part, I consider this my vacation. I come out to California. I'm in L.A. here for – been out here for about a month and a half. I'm going to go down to San Diego for – a little over 2 months. So this is pretty much my off season for the year. Don't have any trips planned. I kind of want to go to Fiji or Bora Bora before we get back to
OTAs. Do what? It seems boring over there, though. It seems like there's nothing to do. I always see people's pictures. You want to get one of those ones where you stay in the little hut thing out on the
over
water?
Over the water, yeah. It seems
looks
cool.
It looks cool, but it also, people have told me that they don't have cable TV and stuff. Then what? Then
that's
what are you
doing? You don't need cable when you got good
swimming.
Company.
Oh, I see what Cobb's talking about. I love the sea, but, you know, it's all right. By the time it gets dark out, then it's... See, I see
I
what
would
Cobb's...
be kind of scared, though. Whenever it gets dark and you're on top of the water and all you hear is, you know, the water splashing and stuff. That would be kind of scary.
I can see that.
Tsunami.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But you do... Are you doing acting? Are you getting into that? Weren't you in the Rock of Ages?
Yeah, I was in the Rock of Ages.
How did that all come about?
My agency came to me. They were looking for ways to, you know, incorporate the NFL, the Super Bowl being in New York, so the Broadway theme. They just came and reached out, and I was – anybody that knows me, I'm really random, so I do a lot of random things.
Were you actually singing?
At the end, yeah. I had a little piece where I came out on stage and rocked out a little bit.
What song was it?
I don't even know.
You don't even know. They're gonna be like, "Here's a glam metal song."
Well, I mean, I've heard the song, but you know, it's one of those that I don't really listen to 80s rock music. So.
What do you mean by random? When people say you're random,
I think really randomly, and I do really random things. So, like, if I see something that looks fun in a random moment, I'll probably go do it.
What are your? So, would you like to be an actor?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely. I've thought about it, possibly getting into that crossing over.
What TV shows?
You can retire now. You don't have to go back to the Packers. Why don't you start your acting?
Stay out
career?
Here and start acting.
Sure. Worked out for Jim Brown. He still went to the Hall of Fame. Yep. Randall Cobb. He went off and made Dirty Dancing. What TV shows do you like to sit around and watch?
Right now, House of Cards. It just started season 2.
Somebody told me a spoiler alert in the hallway, and
no,
I'm angry about it.
No, we don't know.
It.
You don't need to know. Don't tell me. Don't say anything.
You didn't see season 2 yet?
Yeah, I just started season 2. I'm in like five episodes in.
Oh, well, then you know more than I know.
Okay.
Because somebody told me something, and I mean, I don't even want to say it to you, but I kind of want to say it to you.
No, please don't say it to me.
Well, why do I have to suffer?
They'll put somebody else through it, too, just because you're going through it.
I guess you're right. That's mean-spirited on my part. Have you seen True Detective?
I haven't. I heard that's a good one, too.
Oh, he's cuckoo, though.
Homeland? You watch
Homeland? I love Homeland.
Homeland's a good one, too.
You know what? Rankin Hawk.
Yeah, AJ likes
that's
it.
What you guys should talk about, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you caught up on Homeland?
No, I'm in season 3 right now. Okay. I kind of stopped because House of Cards came back out, and I really enjoyed that one.
If your brain is that random, maybe you can explain this to me, because I was thinking about this yesterday. Why are pants pluralized, but shirts are not? Like, I wear a shirt, and you say, well, pants, because you need one pant leg combined, you know, for each leg.
Right.
But then shouldn't my shirt also be pluralized, because I need one and one? I have two arms.
Two sleeves.
What is the point of that, Randall Cobb and the rest of the room? Anyone have any thoughts, any explanations to that?
Well, my question is, and you guys can chew on this as well, why on earth were button fly pants invented? What is the point
of having button fly pants? Is that a serious question?
Is a serious question.
Have you never had a, how do I put this delicately? Have you never had a, you've seen something of, what am I asking? There's a movie called Something About Mary where Ben Stiller has an accident with the zipper. Which means that the button fly is just a little safer.
A little safer.
I think also.
I actually have a button fly on right now.
I
was like, wait a minute.
I own about 3 or 4 button flies, and every time it's like, why?
Why? Because it's safer. About it.
It is safer, but come on, if you can't figure that out.
Shirts.
Collar. That's a great question.
Or ties. What's a tie for?
Oh, easy, Hank. I'm all about the ties.
That's right.
You've never. I've never
combat
seen
that. Great question, though.
Yeah, why have a collar on your shirt?
It's unnecessary. It serves absolutely no purpose. It doesn't keep me warmer. I mean, it doesn't. What function does that
it's
serve?
It's for the tie,
Cobb?
Though, right? It's for the tie to go tie. Underneath it.
I guess so. But then if we
but
lose
then why
the tie,
do you need the tie?
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting thought.
It protects you.
Back to Buttonfly.
From
though.
What?
I don't like the Buttonfly.
It started as part of the chainmail, like the. Like
come
the,
on.
The how do you say the suit of armor?
Right, that was a right. thousand years ago. I don't think we still need to adhere to whatever worked for
it's
people
symbolic.
Wearing.
Well, I think a lot of that stuff just evolves, and now it's symbolic.
Well, I'll say this about the Buttonfly: I'm not a fan of it, and because we
why?
Live in a well, listen, we I have satellite TV, and people say, "Why do you have that? Why don't you just lying?" That is the same as saying, "Like, why don't I just watch network TV? Because there's a better way now." You understand?
So you're saying the Buttonfly is not an evolution of the zipper?
No, no, no. The zipper is clearly better than a
why
Buttonfly.
Why is it better? There's two
because
there's things
of the timing.
Wrong.
Of,
it's a little
can I be,
easier?
Can
little,
I?
Little quicker?
Oh no, no. The zipper is quicker. Right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The zipper when
quicker.
You run, we're like, oh, I.
But
you
there's
know,
a lot
got,
of moving parts that are unnecessary.
I gotta get. Oh, I gotta go. Let me go. I gotta run. You run through that men's room. That you know. All of a sudden, like, oh, I was counting on the timing. 5, 4, 3, zipper down. Oh, wait a second. Buttonfly. They're like an extra 3 to 8 seconds there
so
that
saying,
you may not be ready to account, and there could be problems.
So you're saying you should always embrace technology.
Well, I have a feeling that you're
no,
about
no, no.
to try
so you're
to
saying,
embarrass
I,
me
I,
in
no,
front
I,
of Randall
I can't say I can't believe that you want to put a roof over Lambeau Field. This is no,
wow.
of all technology. If that's the slippery slope,
that is
when
not.
You go,
that's
how it
happen.
Starts.
That's not a technological upgrade. Randall
how
Cobb,
not?
How say you about that? That's not an upgrade. That's just that's.
Do you not live in a house with a roof?
Well, that's not. That's football.
Me personally, I like warm weather. I don't like I don't like cold weather. So I wouldn't mind having a roof on Lambeau, but that would never happen.
What was that like? Never. So you were in that. It was what was the temperature in
it was
that
like
Niners
negative
game?
12. I don't know. It was miserably cold.
How bad was it?
It was really bad. It was worse when you were like on the sidelines because you actually thought about it. When you're in the game, when you're in the moment, you don't really think about it. But when you come to the sidelines, it's like, man, it's really cold out here.
Did it ever once? Did Rodgers really fire one and be like, man, that hurts way worse in this
well, that's the reason I wear those, the gloves that I wear, it takes the sting off. That's the main reason I wear gloves.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So if I get some of those gloves, I could be in the NFL?
Well, I wouldn't say that, but may have a better chance.
Yeah. What do you think about, but seriously, to go back to James Jones, and I'm not trying to put it on him, but do you feel, I mean, I guess in your own brain, because you're not going to sit around probably and discuss it with Greg Jennings, or maybe you did. Do you guys have conversations like, and again, the ego, I completely get the ego, the mindset that one must have to reach the highest level of football. But do you think, man, to some degree, I am made by Aaron Rodgers? I mean, what percentage of that? I know that Aaron Rodgers says, hey, Randall Cobb's awesome, and that's why I look good. Greg Jennings makes me look good. But do you feel like, man, walking away from Aaron Rodgers is maybe not a great move? Maybe for the bank account, that's great, but if I want to put up numbers, it's tough to walk away from this guy.
Yeah, definitely, to an extent, for sure. I think definitely he does make us a better player. I mean, I think it works both ways, though. I mean, if he's throwing the ball and I'm not catching it, he's probably not going to throw the ball my way. So it does definitely work both ways, but he does make you a better player whenever you're on the field with him.
What was it like your rookie season then? You're playing the Giants. You're 15-1 in that game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Playing in that game in Lambeau. Hakeem Nicks just before the half catches the Hail Mary. And that was really like the portent of this the game isn't going well. Wow, now they get that touchdown at the end of the half.
Yeah.
Wow, the Packers really might lose this. And then the story sort of became, wow, the guys aren't catching the passes as much as they normally do. Was mm-hmm. that a discussion after that game? Was there?
We don't even watch film on that game. You know, that's just hard to watch because we know how big of a year that was for us in the regular season to get to the playoffs and have that chance and not capitalize. And it just seemed like everything that week leading up to that game went wrong. You know, we had so much other things that was going on, and you know, we had a coach lose
the
a
tragedy,
son that week.
Right,
yeah.
All that
so
stuff,
it was
yeah.
it was just like a down week for us in preparation. We get to the game and it just didn't seem right. Nothing seemed right.
Hmm. Yeah, that makes
and
sense.
Really and went right.
That you know, the shame of it for a football fan is that game. I mean, the Giants beat the Patriots and all that. But if you guys would have played the Patriots, it would have been the 31st and 32nd ranked defenses against, I'm not sure statistically, but two of the more dominant offenses. Mm-hmm. What would the final score of that one have been?
Oh, it would have been through the roof probably.
That would have been the best.
I predicted 132 to 129.
That would be one of those fantasy owners' dream games.
Yeah. Last question, Randall Cobb, is are you a UK Hoops fan?
I am. Yeah. I'm a big Hoops fan.
What do you think about what's coming up here
man,
next month?
Right now we're falling by the wayside. Hopefully we can pull things together. And this usually how it goes for Calipari's teams. You know what? When he has a lot of freshman guys out there, if we can just find a way to get in the tournament and hopefully make a run in the tournament.
I can't believe it. What? I mean, they have so much talent.
There's so much talent, but they're so young.
But Julius Randle, that body type in this day and age where a lot of kids leave if they're really talented, mm-hmm. there's nobody who should be able to bang with him. Tournament time, if you guys just get in there, just get him in the blocks and let him dominate, right?
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with mentality, too, the mental approach. And I think Calipari does a great job with that, and he has done a great job with that over the years of getting guys mentally prepared. Prepared and mentally ready going into that tournament time.
All right, last thing. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you guys are overshooting it here. What? Give you guys a couple more minutes. Randall's got to go.
You
it's
said no
because
I don't want to let him go and then have you say, oh, no, you got four more minutes to ask your Ashley Judd question.
Go ahead. Ask your question.
But as a football recruit, do they bring you down and be like, oh, look, oh, your seat just happens to be next to Ashley Judd? Like,
hey. No. They put us the football recruits about midway up, so we're not right there by the court.
All right.
All right. Listen, Randall Cobb, you go. Go do fancy TV work. Let your outfit. You know, you can't beat the outfit, so you're ready to go on that front. I can tell, obviously, from talking to you, you have some insight to share. Now go into, but then don't do like Earl Thomas. I told all the Seahawks this last week. Fine, Earl Thomas wants to tweet out, hey, I'm back to working out. That's his business. I want you to have an off season,
all
right?
Yeah.
I don't want this to be 12 months a year.
Uh-huh.
Make it 9 months a year, all
nine
right?
9 months.
Okay.
I'm enjoying it.
Go to Fiji, through March, and then you can start getting back into football.
I got you.
Does that sound good?
I got you. Sounds
right, good.
Damoshek,
David, Damoshek. All right. We can kibitz more about Randall Cobb at a later date. Black Tie promised us a little while ago the return of the shout-out. Now, if you're a newcomer to the show, Black Tie, about 8 months or a year ago, started something that felt like, to all of us, had great legs. He was doing shout-outs to people, but not to just a specific friend of his in his life, just random people he thought deserved shout-outs in the world as he went through it. Black Tie, at long last, get back to it, the Black Tie shout-out.
It's time for Black Tie Shoutouts.
I like to give a shout out to. Quick shout out to. I just want to give a shout out to you.
But if you do this, you understand you got to do one every show now.
Oh, come on, guys.
People look forward to it.
Let me tell you what happens, all right? It's kind of like the ACL podcast intro. You know, they started off with, like, the little, you know, customized intro.
I don't even know
episode.
What that means. What
I've never listened to one.
And now they just go with the generic ACL podcast
Around the League
now.
Podcast?
Yeah, they just have
about?
A little bit at the top of the show, but
you know, too much
eventually
work.
It runs out. If you want good quality stuff, eventually it's going to run out. It's kind of like American Dad. If you guys watch Dad in the first two seasons, in their pre-intro, they'll always have a new newspaper headline. After, like, season two, they kind of stopped, you know? And it's kind of like, you know what? If it's not good, we're just not going to do it anymore.
Can I ask you a question? Have you ever watched The Daily Show?
Not as much, no.
Okay, Jon Stewart somehow finds a way to be funny every night.
Well,
have you seen South Park?
Guys,
still as funny as ever.
I don't know how I can to write comedy. You know, I'm not. It's not my job. So I try to do what I can. See, that's a guy who has a future.
I like
in that.
People who make announcements like that usually don't. You probably already know. That announcement, you knew the answer before the announcement was made. All right, go ahead.
All right, guys, so shout out. And just to give some backstory on the shout outs, it's just me appreciating jobs that people don't get a lot of love for. You know, some of the best highlights were, you know, people who used to work in the bathrooms and give you a little hand towel after, right after you come out the stall. And
it's also a good reminder, yes. The reason that Black Tie started doing this was because his heart went out to, like he says, the public bathroom attendant who gives you the paper towel and having to stand in a dirty toilet for 4 hours to make a living is terrible. Garbage men, all those terrible jobs. And the reason Black Tie felt an affinity for them was because poor Black Tie is stuck behind the glass having to listen to us talk about football. He equated that with one of those, I know how it is having to do what you guys have to do, having to listen to these idiots talk. And that was sincere when he said that too, which I found to be so outrageous that it amused me. All right, go ahead.
All right, guys. My shout out this week goes to, well, this year, I guess, or this season, goes to trainers, fitness trainers. As you guys know, I don't know if you guys ever worked with trainers before, but their job is to get people, overzealous people who think, you know what, this is the
year. I've never had a trainer, but I did know that that was their function.
This is the year
they
that,
help
you know,
people train, right?
This is the year I'm going to, you know, hit that fitness goal, you know, drop that 20 pounds, put on that muscle, get that six pack. I don't know the exact numbers. As you guys know, I do a lot of my research on the shout-outs. I don't know the exact numbers, but, I mean, that's probably like a 20% success rate. They go once or twice, never come back. It's tough having to deal with new clients all the time. You know, it's like the one thing about the show is that at least I get to deal with Sheck all the time. I know what you're about. I know what's coming for the most part. But trainers have to deal with new
customers.
But you
don't like any of it. Everything I say, how about this? Nah, I don't think that'll work. That's not a good
trainers
idea.
Trainers have to deal with new customers every time who are just feeling it at the moment, and they never actually, you know, never actually pulled through. So my shout-out goes to those guys, and especially this was inspired by a super listener. We have Neil Dutton. We have Sarah Peters. We have a lot of super listeners to the show. We have a new super listener. Not on Twitter. This was in person. Chase Good, a trainer at LA Fitness here in Los Angeles, met up with one of our coworkers, and he loves the show. Big Damashek podcast listener. I don't even know the name of the show again. Dave Damashek, football program podcast listener. He knows the whole crew, ATL crew, everyone. So big shout-out to Chase Good, super listener. I hope you're pumping those dumbbells, getting that work in. And maybe I'll come out for a little workout session because I am trying to get.
Chase Good is the best name
Chase
ever
Good.
For a trainer.
That's really
Chase
right.
Good.
That's what you want. That's what you want your trainer to be doing is Chase Good.
Have that on the back of your jacket.
Yeah, I Chase Good. Something like that.
It's pretty epic.
The thing I don't understand is, you know, I often talk about the lunch lady syndrome, that if you everybody wants to have a little bit of power in the world. People mm-hmm. desire to have some sway. And if you're the highest level you've reached is being a lunch monitor. Do they have those in England,
yeah,
handsome?
Right, at school, a dinner lady.
Haven't you even seen the video for The Wall?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, those are mean. Those ones are mean. They're not women, though.
They
like,
just slop it out there.
They're mean men, yeah. But the lunch monitors in most, or at least in the schools I always went to growing up, they were like middle-aged women, and they were really mean. You know, they didn't seem to have any affection for children, which you would think would be a requirement. And they, you know, they wielded their power too severely, in my book. I didn't care for their way. But I don't want to be in that club, even though they were more powerful than I was at the time. Now, same thing at the gym. I don't want, when I go to the gym, I see that there's a clique there, but it's not a group. I don't want to, you know, this thing of going to the gym and making friends with other people seems very weird to me.
Yeah, but I don't necessarily buy that they are actually all friends together because they often are there, you know, and they're all sweaty and disgusting.
Who wants to talk to anybody?
But they're very much like they're comparing stuff. In an unpleasant way.
Yeah.
I don't want to be around them.
And when the social club starts congregating around, like, one of the apparatuses or something, you're like, hey, guys, you know, you're going to sit here by the pec deck all day, or can somebody actually work in on
the
this?
The pec deck.
Whatever it is. And that's what it's called.
It's a funny thing to me. Yeah, the guys who, they're obviously guys who lift weights live in a different reality. Hardcore weightlifters, the guys that are super jacked up guys, they live in a different reality than I do. But their reality also includes the perception that women, I guess, like their long hair still.
Right.
It's like it's 2014, fellas.
Yeah,
I don't know if you heard the
on.
News. Conan the Barbarian is 35 years old, I believe, in the theaters.
My favorite guy is the guy, because there are those guys, but then there's also the guy who is lifting the weights at the same time as those guys and with those guys, but isn't jacked, but walks and moves as if he is.
Yes.
There's always one of those guys you're like, no, I get it with you and you and you. Yeah, you're all jacked. But this guy is just a normal looking guy, but he like has that kind of waddle kind of thing. Like, look at me. I can't
with his
really
back
move properly.
Arched.
Exactly.
There are a lot of people, yes. Women, there are a number of women that you'll, when you go to the beach, wear bikinis, and it's that phenomenon where they've lost probably 30 or 40 pounds, so they feel right. good. So they're a better version of what they once were, so they want to share that with the world. And you know, cynically, you can't help but observe, yeah, you still got another 30 or 40 to go.
To go. Yeah,
I mean, you're not home yet, but I know you're feeling good, but doesn't mean that that my eyeballs want to join in on your right. On your transformation here, or at least just yet. There are a lot of guys at the gym who have that same thing. The way they walk around with their swagger, it's like, hey, you still got a pot belly. I know I've right. been seeing you in here. And the guy who's running for, it's not just the guy who's in the clique. There's this thing of being the gymnasium mayor. That there are like a couple or three guys I could describe for you who glad hands with everybody. How empty is this character's life outside right. of the gymnasium that he feels like he has a – and I'm a jerk because I don't say hello to them. They want to make eye contact, and I just put my head down like I'm on my – so what are you and I going to do? Where does this take
exactly.
us?
This is just going to – the furthest this relationship is going to go is good morning.
Yeah, well, not for some of these.
I'm not even going to go there, but that's as far as I would ever dare take it.
Oh, they want to talk, and they want to do a whole thing about, you know, whatever their workout is, and then they want to get – no, thank you. Listen, I want to get in here and get out of here. Speaking of which, let's get out of here now. Handsome, you're going to Indianapolis.
I am.
Have a terrific time.
I'm going to watch the next episode of True Detective, so don't spoil anything for me.
I know. I was
going to watch the next episode of True Detective on the way, so – we could maybe talk about that next week.
Boy, heavy stuff. That's all I'm going to say. Rank hasn't started watching it at all yet. Neither is Black Tie. Handsome Hank is an episode behind, but it continues to be spellbinding.
I got the first one downloaded.
Oh, do you?
I'm ready to go. Because Justified's preempted. This is where we're recording on Tuesday, so Justified's preempted. I might jump into it tonight.
I think you should.
Tuesday I'll tell
night.
You,
I bet you if you start it tonight, I bet you'll be up to date.
Start downloading the others.
You'll be up to date.
Once
you
got to get through. There's a pacing to it that you have to adjust to, but I think by the end of the second episode, you'll be ready to go, and you'll want to consume all the episodes that are there. All I'm saying is right turn. That's all. Just get ready for it.
Don't
tell me don't. I'll do as I please. I spoiled nothing for you there. That's all I'm going to say, but just get ready. Just get ready. It's getting heavier and heavier as we go along here. All right, Black Tie's now out just blatantly on his cell phone, just trying to make plans. Soon as they're done, I'll get out of here. I'll come meet you for a hot dog or whatever. I don't know what he does with himself. All right, so we'll be back. Are we doing another podcast this week, Black
Tie? We are. I won't be around. I'm going on vacation. No, I'm playing. I'm going to be a combine.
Starting. Oh, you're going to combine yep. as well?
Yes, but the gold standard would be manning the board while I'm away for Thursday's episode featuring Bucks defensive tackle Gerald McCoy. So that should be fun. He's
oh,
a fun
we do
guy.
Have Gerald McCoy
yep.
coming in here.
Yeah, we do. He's a fun guy. Loves movies. He actually wants to act when he's done with his career. Spent a couple of days last offseason with him at the Hollywood boot camp. He's
I'll be the judge of whether or not. Yeah, maybe yeah. I'll do a movie scene or
he
two.
Did a couple
him.
Of action scenes. Last offseason. I would say this also, Combine Show with DJ on, Bucky Matt Money Smith, follow at NFL.com Live. We'll be bringing to you two different feeds showing off the Combine. Every player, every drill. It's going to be a good time.
Oh, that's what I wanted to ask you real quick, Black Tie. This was a great line from him, and I don't trust him to repeat it. He says to me as we're coming into the studio, hey, you've seen the Lego movie, right? I said, yeah, I took the kids to see it last weekend. And he said, oh, yeah, I saw it too. Now, of course, Black Tie has no children, so it's a right. little weird that he's going to
creepy,
see the Lego even. Movie. Yeah, I don't know why he's yeah. going to see the Lego movie, but fine. That's his business. He said, I said, what do you think? He said, what do you think? I said, I thought it was very funny. It was one of those ones. He said, well, it's one of those ones that has the some jokes in there for the parents and everything. But, yeah, I thought it was clever and looked great. What do you think, Black Tie? Actually, you know what? You give me the exact line.
Well, I said I gave it 20 minutes. It yeah. wasn't what I expected, so I fell asleep.
I don't think that's exactly how you said, but yeah, it wasn't what I expected. It's a, it's an animated movie
about Legos.
About Legos. What the, what was what? It that you didn't expect? What part of that was it, wasn't delivered in your estimation?
It was a bit childish for him.
What happened
expecting
in the movie?
More adult content.
It starts. It's all Legos doing Lego stuff, and that's it.
Well,
and that's
say,
the movie.
Let's say I had a friend who wanted who's in animated movies, and I was like, you know what? That's cool. It has Batman in it, so you know, worlds collide. Let's go check it out. And that's all I knew going into the movie. And but Chris Pratt was a lead actor as well. Other than that, I was like, you know what? It just wasn't for me. 20 minutes in, so I fell asleep the rest of the way.
And you stayed asleep for an hour plus.
In and out of sleep, yes, pretty much. I couldn't really help it. I was very tired that day. Probably even podcasting earlier. Listening to you guys.
I love that.
It does look exhausting.
Even if
what
he,
you put in behind the glass there, just rocking back and forth on your chair.
Even if he tries. Right. Yeah. So apparently, even if he tries to see a movie, he's incapable. Yeah. His eyeballs will not allow it.
No wonder he's seen nothing since 2000.
All that rocking in a chair like Leo Mazzoni from the 1990s. Just
tell you what,
too
though.
Much.
I find it extremely weird that this movie did not get more pub than it's getting right now. You guys probably haven't heard of it. It's the Liam Neeson new movie, Nonstop. And it's going to be terrible. It's going to be a terrible action movie, but it's Liam Neeson on a plane being a federal agent. That, I mean, come on. You got to at least watch that. I mean,
Liam Neeson's career has boomed in terms of...
Well, it's like taking on a plane. How are you not watching that?
It's just him, and the K-Dog. Like somebody just runs, they write a movie, like an action thriller. First calls to Liam Neeson. He's not available. Okay, get Costner on the phone.
Don't
That's the only two guys who are on these movies.
Well, careful, I'd love to indulge this conversation. Kevin and I are dear friends now.
What are you talking about? You're talking about me and the K-Dog.
Yeah.
We go way back.
Wow.
We're Cal State Fullerton luminaries.
He luminaries.
Whatever. I was thinking of Illuminati. I was going to say Cal State Fullerton Illuminati.
Or alumni.
I just made it, I
or
just
alumni.
Made it,
any just, of those words.
It's a mashup. Sue me, whatever.
Speaking of that, Black Tie, we got to get that out there. The conversations with Paul and Costner, Aaron Paul, and
Hugh Jackman.
Yep. Oh, what a time we had.
We will. Right. Sometime in March, look out for it. It's going to be a fun time.
We only did them 2 months ago already, so. Yeah.
It's got to. These things have to be produced properly.
They want.
Damashek.
They want as many eyes on the March Madness tournament as possible when they sneak these out.
All right, enough's enough. Thanks to Randall Cobb was delightful.
Random Cobb.
Random Cobb, yeah, I like
that's,
that.
That's, I think, his nickname now.
That's a good new nickname for him. Yeah, he's random with all sorts of... But nobody came up with a good answer for the Pantaloons. Why are they plural?
Maybe that's how we give away Marcus Allen. Best answer for why pants are plural.
Okay.
Gets Marcus Allen.
So one, Rank is taking Blake Bortles to the Brea Improv for February 28th at 8 p.m.
26th.
All right, that's one. Blake Bortles, goodbye. Next, do we want to give away best answer gets MJD and best question gets Marcus Allen? We'll figure it all out. All right, drop us a line with the hashtag. Blake Bortles is spoken for. He'll be at the Brea Improv, whoever goes to see Rank. And that's up to him. How you dispense it from there, that's up to you.
Leave him in the bathroom.
No, I'll be on stage.
I like
I want
the idea.
Somebody to yell out.
No, put Bortles like in Godfather in the Brooklyn Italian place where Michael Corleone finds the gun. You know, back behind the thing. That's where the picture is.
Yeah. That's it.
It's in the third stall up behind the thing. You'll find it's one of those old commodes with the handle on it. You know?
Done and done. I'll come out and I'll be like, by the way.
Tessio. Remember, he's like, Tessio's like, yeah, it's got one of those old, I know the joint. Good food. Good quiet place. People mind their own business.
Perfect.
All right. This has now turned into a marathon. We'll be back with more Huey and Applesauce later on. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.